Good morning. I am in the very privileged position to have been released from kind of having a secular job and released to serve the church on a full-time basis and paid a salary to do that. I've not always done it. In my old job before this, I worked for a small-ish company that kind of bought and sold automotive products. So there was a warehouse that I was doing the kind of marketing stuff in an office, which is where I feel safe in the office. Occasionally, I would get called out to the warehouse if kind of things were going crazy and they needed some help with picking and packing. So picking stuff off the shelves, an order that had been made, and then packing that order to be sent out. And I remember getting shown how to pack. That's the slightly more complicated job. The first time I was kind of called out, right, you're going to need to pack today. And going through the process of the labels and here's the order and checking it all through and then putting the labels in the right thing and all the stuff and the art of packing it in a neat way so that nothing's going to get damaged. Now, I assumed it would be easy because everyone else made it look easy and they'd been, you know, doing it and they do it kind of all day and they made it look easy, so it'll be easy. But then when faced with actually doing it myself, I had no idea and I was not very good at it. And I remember being taught and kind of just shown what to do fairly quickly. Just, well, this is what you do, da 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 da. That's what you have to do, now get on with it. And then you kind of, you're in those positions, you know, I'm not ready for you to go yet. So is there anything else I need to know? Is there anything else you can tell me? And of course, there was nothing. Like, no, I've just told you everything. Was told, you know, if you've got a question to ask, then just over there you can come and ask. But again, we all know you can only do that so many times. So you kind of have to tot up in your mind, what questions am I actually going to be going to ask? I don't want to waste a question, all of that. Anyway, I thought it was going to look easy. As shown, I wasn't great at it. And whenever I'd subsequently be called out to help, it'd be kind of, they'd be semi-happy to see me come and help, but not entirely. This morning, I'm not doing that anymore. And I am preaching, and we are preaching through the book of Matthew in the New Testament. And up to this point in the book of Matthew, as we've been going through it, Jesus has been doing it himself. He's been doing all of the things. He's been teaching and doing miracles Just last week, in the space of a few verses, we saw he calmed a storm, just told a storm to stop it, and it did. He restored two men who were demon-possessed, and he brought them back to their right mind. He forgave someone and healed this man, a paralyzed man. He's been doing it all, and now we get to the part in the Gospel of Matthew where he recruits others to get involved and to come and help him in what he's doing. And this is that we're going to be looking at the second of five teaching blocks in the Gospel of Matthew. And it's good for us to see what Jesus teaches when he is teaching his people. And in this teaching block, he gives them the mission of the kingdom. He tells his followers, this is what you are to do. He tells them what they need to do, having made it look fairly easy himself, and then he says, you have the mission of the kingdom, and he explains it. And the mission he sends them out with is to do just what he has been doing. That is, to teach, to care, and to do miracles. Easy peasy. And Jesus does, he tells them what to do fairly succinctly. It kind of sums it up. This is what you got. I'm sending you out. Go and do this. But then he gives some details, kind of the anything else I need to know. Actually, Jesus has got quite a bit of detail on some other things that might be helpful to know. So just like when we're being taught something and some things that kind of, oh yeah, might be helpful for you to know this. They're not all great. They're not all kind of, oh, that's great. Some are the equivalent, I'm just over there if you need some help, you know, you can know that. Some are more along the lines of, oh, this machine often doesn't actually do what it's supposed to do. And then you need to do, instead of doing this, you need to do X, Y, Z in order to fix it. Da, 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 da. Okay. Some of them are not as encouraging. But that's what's happening here. He is giving them a task. He's explaining this is the thing you need to do. And it's a big role, but he's fairly brief on this is what you actually need to do. And then he says, and here's some things that you might want to know. And spends much more time on that, as we'll see. So we'll read it. It's end of chapter 9 and all of chapter 10. We won't read all of it. We will skip some bits. But for all of that, and again, just by way of kind of illustrating, it's just up to verse 8 in chapter 10 on what the job is. And then the rest are on some helpful things to know. And in some ways, these are specific instructions and things to know for the disciples 2,000 years ago, for the 12 followers, the disciples of Jesus. Some of it's specific to them, no doubt. But there is much that speaks to the role and the mission of any disciple of Jesus today, of the church. So we'll read, we'll start in chapter 9, verse 35. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So he says, Jesus has been doing it all himself up to this point. And then he says, we need some more workers. And then chapter 10 starts. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And I'm going to skip down to verse 16. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And I'm going to jump down again to verse 26. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. We'll stop there. So there's some kind of, you see, Jesus says, here's the thing to do, and then says, here's some other things you might want to know, and some of them are kind of hard to hear. Up until now, as I said, Jesus has been teaching. He has been proclaiming the good news, and he has been doing miracles, and now he says, now it's your turn. Go and do what I've been doing. Teach, care, do miracles. We'll look at what he tells his followers to do, and then we'll go on to look at the things that he wants his followers to know about. But before we jump on, we just got to quickly acknowledge that we are in chapter 9 and 10 here, right? This is not the beginning of the story. So the disciples have been watching Jesus. They have been marveling. They have been enjoying him and all that he has been doing. It's only then that Jesus sends them out. Only then that he gives them a task. The disciples are called to teach and proclaim the gospel, but not before they have enjoyed the gospel themselves, let alone, they're not, kind of certainly not called to demonstrate it before they have known and enjoyed it. It's true for them. It's true for us. As a church, we have a vision to enjoy the grace of God first. And it's only then that we are ready for him to send us out. Only when we've enjoyed him ourselves can we be sent out to tell people about him. We cannot commend what we do not cherish. But what they are to do is four pretty short verses from verse 5 of chapter 10. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, some of those are undoubtedly specific instructions that Jesus is giving to the 12 disciples in this moment in history. They were to go to the lost sheep of Israel first. Now, Jesus certainly sends them to non-Israelites later in chapter 28, the Great Commission. But at this point, he says, go just to the lost sheep of Israel. Yeah, that's clearly specific to them. And he says, proclaim this simple message. Take the compassion and the power of God with you. They were firstly to go and teach, to proclaim. And the message is, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Simple message. Michael Green, in his commentary, says, when the disciples are told to go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is near, what it really means is that Jesus is at hand. The kingdom has arrived in the person of Jesus. Mission is Jesus-shaped. It is all about him and telling people about him. And the disciples were sent out to tell others about Jesus because other people didn't know yet. They didn't know that the kingdom of heaven has come in a person, in the person of Jesus. And Jesus goes on and gives some detail later on and kind of encourages us to be strategic in it. It says, be innocent as doves whilst you're also as shrewd as snakes. Tom Wright says, I think helpfully, without innocence, shrewdness becomes manipulative. Without shrewdness, innocence becomes naivety. Don't be naive as we go. Be shrewd, but don't be manipulative. Be innocent and have integrity. Jesus, think about how you go. Think about your strategy in your mission. Now, I think we today, we get that. We know that. That's kind of second nature to us to think about things. I'm not convinced that going to town and standing on a box and telling people that they're going to hell is the best way to do it. And I think we know. We need to think through in our kind of strategic world. We know. We've got to think through what's the best way. How can we best do that? Mostly, I think we actually are more guilty of overthinking it all. We have a message of hope to this hopeless world. And we're told to go and tell them about the hope. Verse 36 of chapter 9, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. That word literally means he was moved in his guts. He was gutted for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Do you watch the news much? Can't keep up with wars and what's all going on, who's at war with who. Can't keep up with politics. Can't keep up with climate change. Can't keep up with the astronomical rise in anxiety, particularly among young people, but across people in the West and in the UK. In 2022 and 23, an average of 37% of women and 30% of men reported high levels of anxiety. That's a lot. It's a high proportion. And it's not just a lot generally. That's a huge increase. Just 10 years before that, that was 22% of women and 18% of men. It's gone from 22% of women to 37% of women and 18% of 30% to 30% of men. It's just crazy rise. 89% of 16 to 29-year-old British people feel their life lacks purpose or meaning. 89% of young adults are walking around lacking purpose and meaning. Do you ever look at this world and feel your gut wrench, feel gutted and compassion because they're helpless? We are sent out to tell others about Jesus because they don't know yet. They don't know that there is a source of hope. They don't know that Jesus is there for them. They simply don't know the message of the kingdom, and the mission of the kingdom is to inform them. Christ died for them to offer life and hope. And then he gives us a mission to offer purpose. Tell your friends, let them know. Teach them, inform them, educate them in the gospel. Tell them about what you know. We're told to teach and care. Just notice who specifically Jesus tells his disciples to go to. So yes, he tells them to do certain things, and we'll see that in a moment. But he sends them generally to the Israelites, more specifically than that, to the lost sheep of Israel, the needy and the vulnerable. And even more specifically to that, to four groups in verse 8. He calls them to those who are ill, the sick. He calls them to the dead, make of that what you will. He calls them to those who have leprosy and to the demon-possessed. Now, we can make too much of this, but we can certainly make too little. Jesus sends his disciples out to the needy to go and care for them. Again, it's still true to say, I like my office. It's where I feel comfortable. Jesus doesn't send me there. Now, all right, there's value in studying. I think it's good for us to study, and particularly for me, to study so that I can teach others to teach. But I can't hide behind it and say, well, I'm just told to go and teach. No, we're told to go and teach and care. Told to go and care for those most in need. We must be demonstrating the grace that we have enjoyed ourselves. He came to us in our desperate need, and we must go to others in their desperate need. And what are we to do for those people? Now, I felt a little bit overwhelmed at packing some boxes into some stuff. What Jesus sends us to do is more than another level of that. Crucially, though, Jesus is also giving his disciples a power to do it. I wasn't asked to go and pack a box without tape. We are not asked to go and do miracles without being empowered to do so. Now, I think in this story and context of Jesus speaking to his disciples, I think there probably is in some way a slightly different level of anointing that Jesus is giving here than what he gives to most people today. And it's hard to kind of understand that, but that's my suspicion. They're about a specific task with a limited time frame, and Jesus is doing something. I think that. But I am a charismatic. I do believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today and for some, at least. Some people are given the gifts of healing and the gift to do miraculous things. Read 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. And I think we can often get a bit muddled around this. We think about, okay, what does that mean for us in our church? I think we rarely put the mission of Jesus to both declare and demonstrate the grace of God and take the good news that we have enjoyed ourselves. We rarely put that alongside the call to do miracles. In fact, we can often think that the charismatic miracle stuff is stuff to, if not hide from the lost, then let's be discreet about. Actually, Jesus tells us to go to the lost and do miracles. Yes, we should pray for one another. We should pray for healing for one another as disciples of Jesus. But Jesus' main emphasis on healing is seeing it as a demonstration of the kingdom of God. That's a demonstration to believers, yes, but primarily to unbelievers. Last week, Sarah in our Chichester site shared an amazing story. I actually asked her to share it twice because it was so good. Of her husband, who is an unbeliever, and never once in all the years they've been married has never once asked Sarah to pray for him until he had a superficial melanoma and had a procedure to remove some of it, and he was due for another procedure, and he asked Sarah to pray for the first time. So she did. She prayed, and with some others at one of our prayer meetings, prayed together. I think it was the day after that prayer meeting. Sarah and her husband went back to the hospital, expecting another procedure to remove more, and possibly also to take a biopsy of lymph. But when they got there, the doctors were surprised to report that actually there was no need for another procedure because it had all gone. Praise God. Get in. What an amazing story of mission and miracles working together. I think that's what Jesus wants us to contend for. Now we need to think through what this means. How do we be strategic in this? What does it mean to go and take healing to the streets, to the world? Does it mean to go out and just offer to pray for people? Maybe. But Jesus doesn't just send his disciples out with a message and a heart to care for the poor. He sends them out with a power to do miracles. I'm a fool if I try and pack a box without tape I'm given to use. We are fools if we try and go out without the power that we are given to use. But really, I've not been that brief. But Jesus is fairly brief. That's the task. That's the mission I'm giving you. But then he tells his disciples some other things that might be helpful to know. And I'll kind of rattle through these relatively speedily. As he sends them out on his mission, he gives them these. And like I said, as you heard in the passage, not all of them are good news. Much more time is spent on kind of warnings on how hard it might be. I'll give you the less positive bits first. Jesus starts a bit gently and basically warns the disciples that not everyone's going to love this message, by the way. Some people won't welcome you or your message or even just listen to your words. This is worth knowing because if you don't get told, you'll find out sooner or later. It can be hard to understand sometimes because we forget we're dealing with spiritual realms. It just makes sense to believers because God has graciously opened our eyes. It's a bit like if you kind of watch a new program and you think, oh, this is amazing. And you kind of go and tell your friend shamelessly, you kind of know you can overplay it, but you think this is so good, I can't overplay. You should watch this, it's amazing. And then they watch it and come back and they're like, oh, yeah, didn't get it, didn't think it was that good. You're like, what? How? I thought you'd love this. Some people don't respond to the gospel when they're told it. You think, how are you not falling on your knees? That's the way. Not everyone's going to love it. Jesus, it's because we're dealing with the spiritual realms. And Jesus basically gives permission to not tell people over and over. He says, don't desperately try to convince them. You can kind of leave it and move on and see what God's going to do. Not everyone will love it. In fact, there will be some wolves who will despise it and therefore you for sharing it. Now, some, again, of this is clearly for the 12 disciples when Jesus says you're going to be flogged and beaten. And they were. He's saying you will be. You, group of people, will be flogged, arrested. Most of them literally lost their lives for Jesus' sake. Judas killed himself. Of the remaining 11, 10 of them were killed for their faith, history tells us. Some people won't just say that they watched it and didn't really like it, but they will hate it and hate you for recommending it to them. The disciples are vulnerable, like sheep among wolves. Jesus says it's good for you to know that as you are sent out. Also, you should know that the message is really divisive at every single level. Did you notice what Jesus said? He said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth." You might be like me when you hear Jesus say that, even though I've heard it many times. You kind of think, I really thought you did come to bring peace to the earth, Jesus. I thought you did. But he said, no, I came to bring a sword. He says some controversial stuff, this Jesus. And it's particularly true for the 12, but it is generally true for us. Some people will accept this and others won't, which will drastically affect the future relationship dynamics, even within a family. It will divide. The reason is because it's about priorities. It's not a kind of, oh, here, you can add this into your life. What matters is allegiance, and allegiance to following Jesus must come at the top of every priority list. So it will cost you and those you share it with everything. Being sent out means that everything else in your life, even your family, and possibly especially the things that you value most, they are all subject to following Jesus. And not just true for you, but that's the message that you need to tell others as well. Following Jesus will cost you everything. It will get you everything, but it will cost you everything. Mez McConnell is a guy who has a ministry to drug addicts in Edinburgh, in Scotland. And he writes this, and I remember reading this, and it's quite shocking, but it's hard to argue with when you understand the gospel. He says, "One of my favourite questions to ask drug addicts who often sit in my office and ask me if they can get saved is, what are you prepared to give up in order to follow Jesus Christ?" Now, if that's me, I'm probably just going to say, just do this, just believe, job done, great. No, he asked them, "What are you prepared to give up in order to follow Jesus Christ?" If the answer is not everything, then they are not ready and they have not understood the gospel message. The usual answer is, "Mez, I will do anything." My response, "Anything? Are you sure? Okay, give me your mobile phone so I can take your SIM card and delete your drug dealer's numbers." 99% of the time they get up and walk out. Whew. As you go about your mission, it's helpful to know that it will cost you and it will cost them everything. Hope you're feeling encouraged. Jesus sends us out with a challenging mission, but he also equips and empowers us, and he graciously forewarns us of the struggles we might face. And all that said, there are some other things he wants us to know. Despite all that and all those struggles, he says as well, multiple times, "Do not be afraid." It's the most common command that God gives in the Bible. Don't be afraid. You don't need to fear. But Jesus is not just like some kind of old school stern schoolmaster who's giving a hard job to the kids and saying, "Well, chin up, don't be afraid, don't show any fear." It's not that kind of, just need to do well. No, he's tender and gracious and he gives reasons. Don't be afraid. One reason is that God is more caring than you can imagine. It's this beautiful point about sparrows. You know, sparrows are not worth much, two for a penny. And yet, God's eye is on the sparrow. And If his eye is on the sparrow, then we can know that he is watching us. His eye is on us. He is more caring than you can imagine. God cares about your detail. What's the thing that you're struggling not to think about as I'm talking? That you kind of, you got this, some maybe work meeting this week, a house problem or some family struggle, the thing that you are thinking about, God cares about. Just as nothing is too big for him, nothing is too small for him. We can't, this is hard to, I mean, God is more caring than you can imagine. We can't imagine every hair on our head being numbered. What number's that one, was it? We can't get our head around that. We can't imagine the extent to which Almighty God cares for us as he sends us out with a mission. Also, the wolves can't actually hurt you in the way that really matters. They may make you sad, and God cares about that. They may kill you. God cares about that too. But if you are serving Christ, then your soul is safe. They can't really hurt you if you're serving Jesus. If you aren't serving Jesus, your soul is not safe. And that is way more scary. Fear God more than man. They can't really hurt you. Fear God, who cares about you. Because in Jesus there is life. There's two options that are there at the end and throughout, really. Live for you. Seek to find life yourself. Wherever you can look, try and find life. Ultimately, you'll lose it all. That's one option. Or live for Jesus. Give up your life. Probably not literally, but figuratively, give up everything. Give up your life. And lose it all and find the only path to true life. Maybe you haven't lost your life for him yet. Do it today. Don't do it lightly, right? If you're not truly ready to do anything for him and everything for him, don't do it. But if you are, do it. Give up everything. Lose your life for his sake and find life as a result. If you have done that, remember that you have. You have given it all. You've given your life. And now he sends you out with the mission of the kingdom. He sends you out. It's a big mission. But this is what disciples of Jesus are given, is a mission. We are sent out to the world, sent to teach, to care, and to do miracles.